Before we begin our studies, we like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav Vetzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about holding on to God and his promises, because these are two keys for breakthroughs for you. When you hold on to God and when you hold on to God's promises, you can expect that you will have an encounter with the Lord. And in that kind of encounter, God is going to show you how he's going to work and what he's going to do. And also, when you encounter the Lord, you will change, because nothing changes us like a direct experience with God. And whether you need healing tonight, or your loved ones do, or you need freedom, or you need provision, or you need something else, you can learn something from Jacob in the night that he wrestled with the Lord. That encounter with God that Jacob had came only after he had been in a deep valley, where he had decided he was going to press into God and he was going to press into God's promises. And I want to tell you something. You can come out of any deep valleys you've been in too. And you can hold on to God. You can hold on to his promises. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give in, because you serve the God who breaks through. Well, let's look at Jacob's story from this week's Torah portion. We're going to look at Genesis 31 to start, and then we're going to move forward. Jacob wanted to return to the land that God promised to him and to his grandfather Abraham and to his father. What was Jacob's father's name? Isaac. How do you say that in Hebrew? Yitzchak. Very good. Jacob knew that his father-in-law, Laban or Lavan, was going to give him trouble. You know why he knew he was going to get trouble? Because Laban had given him trouble for 20 years. And Jacob survived those 20 years, but it was like time to move on. And you can read about this in Genesis 31. That's why I want you to turn there. And look at verses 2 and 3, because Jacob is going to meet Laban one last time. And you know what he notices? He notices Laban's face. It says, Jacob saw Laban's face. Some translations say countenance. Who has that in their Bible? Countenance. You know what a countenance is? It's a face. And indeed, it was not favorable toward him as it had been before. This is the kind of moment that defeats some of us. When you see that someone's heart has changed towards you, that sometimes is enough just to cause you to give up and to be defeated. But you know what? The Lord had a plan for Jacob, and God had good news. Sometimes people around you may be frowning. They may hate your guts. They might not even like what God's plan is for you. But God has a plan, and you better find out what it is, because usually he's got a better plan than all those people who are against you. Those people want to see you defeated. God wants to see you victorious. The Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. You know, sometimes in life we feel like we know what we're supposed to do and we go do it, but we feel like we're on our own. And God says to Jacob, it's time to go home. You've been away long enough. You've got a wife, two wives. Maybe that's too many. Take them both. And the Lord says, I will be with you. Say that with me. I will be with you. That is exactly the same promise that God made to Jacob 20 years before, when he was heading out from his home to go to the area where Laban was, looking for a wife and trying to get away from his brother Esau. 20 years before, God made that promise. Some of you got a promise 20 years ago. You're not sure what to do with it. I want to tell you tonight what to do with it. Hang on to it. And when the Lord is ready, he'll start speaking that promise again to you, just like he did to Jacob. Well, that night, the Lord spoke to Jacob in a dream. It's verses 12 and 13 in Genesis 31. It says, the angel of the Lord said to Jacob in a dream, I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Now, this part is pretty interesting because some people think that the angel of the Lord is not the Lord. But look at this. I am the God of Bethel. So what do you think? The angel of the Lord is actually a manifestation of the Lord, one of the ways that God reveals himself. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. Sometimes it makes all the difference in the world for you to know that God sees what's going on in your life. And when you know that God knows, when God says to Jacob, I see all that Laban has been doing all these 20 years. Of course, if you're cynical, you might say to God, if you've been watching for 20 years, why didn't you do anything? But God has his plans and he has his purposes. He knows how to use valleys and how to use mountains as well. Are you aware of that? He even knows how to use Red Seas, Dead Seas, and Jordan Rivers and every kind of thing. It's also encouraging to know that God remembers our deep commitments to him. Jacob had some flaws, he had some strengths, but God says, I'm the God of Bethel where you anointed the pillar and where you made a commitment to me, a vow to me. I remember that about you, Jacob. You know, sometimes we make promises to God and then we don't keep him. But God sometimes remembers us fondly anyway. Like, at least you tried. And so I am still happy with you. Let's get out of here. When you've spent 20 years in a place with a lot of trouble, isn't that good news? It's time to get out of here. Return to the land of your family. And it's also encouraging when God wants to remind you of the promises he's made to you. So it's God who brings up the promise that he made to Jacob 20 years early. He said, I promise to bring you back to the land. Do you remember that? In that first encounter when Jacob experiences the Lord makes promises. He says, I'll be with you and I will take you out and I'll come back in. I won't leave you until I've done every single thing that I've promised, including multiplying you. He said this to a man who wasn't even married, that he would have more descendants, children and grandchildren, than you could count. Now, right now, some of you are remembering promises God made to you. And that's because the Holy Spirit is reminding you. And when you take notice of that, when you realize the Holy Spirit's reminding you of promises he made, there's a faith response that's appropriate. It's to say, yes, Lord, I'm holding on. Thank you, Lord, for renewing the promise. Some of you are waiting for healing. Some of you are waiting for provision, for reconciliation, for completion of some sort. And God's already spoken to you that he's going to do something, and even tonight he's speaking to your heart, and you know it. And you don't have to make it happen. You just have to be alert when God says now. When God said to Jacob, it's time to leave, guess what? It was time to leave. If Jacob had said, yeah, but, you know, I sort of gotten used to Laban, he could have stayed for a miserable time, and who knows what would have happened. When God says now, it is now. So Jacob continues on his way home. He makes it out of town. There was a question whether he would be successful actually leaving. And he has this great encounter with the Lord that confirms all these promises. And sometimes your life will be like Jacob's life. After God renews his promises to you, there's one more valley to go through. And for Jacob, he had another valley. He had to face Esau. Do you remember he left town? And one of the reasons was he didn't want to have to deal with Esau? I mean, he had another reason. He wanted to find a wife. and he had direction from the Lord. But now he's coming back, and the Lord is taking him in the way of Esau, and they are going to meet. And so Jacob comes up with a plan how he's going to send people ahead to meet Esau and to bring, you know, like word of Jacob and blessings and some gifts, trying to make some peace with him. And in Genesis 32, verses 6 and 7, we read that Jacob's servants come back, and this is their report. Your brother Esau is coming to meet you, and he's bringing 400 men. That was miserable news. Because Jacob thought, well, you know what this means? My brother is coming to seek vengeance on me with an army of his, and he's going to kill us all. And so Jacob comes up with a plan. Let's divide into two groups, and that way he can only kill half of us and the other half can escape. That's the plan. That's the plan. That's the human plan. But Jacob doesn't leave it at the human plan. He presses into God, and he reminds God about the promises that God made to him 20 years before. Sometimes when you get into a valley or you're facing a terrible difficulty, worry can defeat you rather than faith giving you victory. And there's a way you can turn your worry into faith, and that's what Jacob does. All the things he's afraid of happening, he starts using for prayer. He turns the content of his fear into genuine prayer. Look at this. Genesis 32, verse 9. Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. You see, he's reminding the Lord, you're the one who's been faithful to my dad, to my granddad. You're the one who spoke to me, and you gave me direction to come back. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I've crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies divided. Verse 11, okay, here it comes. Here comes all that worry that becomes the content of faith. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, because I am afraid of him, that he would come and he would attack me and the mother with the children, because you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. You see, this is honest prayer, but it's a prayer of faith too. It's not, God, how could you let this happen? It's, God, you won't let this happen. I'm terrified, but I have something I'm holding on to, your promise to me. And he prays his fear, and it becomes real faith. And he reminds God not to twist God's arm, but because he's lining himself up with what God already said he wants to do. Faith agrees with God. Faith doesn't try to get God to do your will. How do I know that? Yeshua said, this is how you pray, not my will, but your will be done. Well, what about when God wants to do something that seems impossible? Not my will, but your will be done. That night after prayer, Jacob had an encounter with God that forever changed him. And for every messianic believer, this next part is really important. The Lord came down in the form of a man, and he wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob wrestled with the Lord. That's what the text tells us in Genesis 32, starting, I'm just going to pick out verses 27 and 28 for the sake of time. God comes down as a man. Now, almost all Jewish sources will agree that Jacob wrestled with God. However, because of the implications of that, there are alternate ways of explaining this away, that it wasn't God, it was an angel. There are even some who say it wasn't God, it was the angel of Esau. Give me a break. The text is much more clear. I'll make it clear. The Lord said to him, this is Genesis 32, verse 27. The Lord said to Jacob, oh, you know what? Let's back up just a little bit, if you don't mind. A couple of verses earlier. It says, verse 26, the Lord said to him, let me go because the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You see, this is literally holding on to God. Sometimes we talk about holding on to God and it's sort of a poetic or metaphorical thing. This was literal. God comes down and Jacob grabs hold of him and says, I can't let go until you bless me like you said you would. Jacob doesn't fully know what he's asking for. So the Lord says to him, he asks a question, what's your name? Now that's, it should be clear that the Lord already knows his name. But he's asking it so that Jacob would think about himself. And he says, Yaakov, Jacob. Which means, in a variety of things, it could mean the deceiver, the usurper, or the one who grabs the heel, because when he was in the womb, he tried to get out first and tried to pull his little baby brother, neither of whom had been born, tried to pull him out of the birth canal so he could get out first. Because God had made him to be first. Even though he wasn't firstborn, he was given an anointing that he didn't deserve. It wasn't anything but the favor of God. You remember that. And even before he was intelligent and had breathed his first breath out of the womb, there was something in him driving to do what God had made him to do, but it was mixed with normal human fallen nature. I'm going to do it myself. So he grabs the heel of his brother. His brother comes out first. That's the way it is. Well, what's your name? Heel grabber. Usurper. Deceiver. Jacob sounds so much better, doesn't it, in English? Verse 28, and the Lord said to him, No longer is your name Jacob, but Yisrael. Say that with me, Yisrael. Because you've struggled and wrestled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And that name Yisrael is an interesting word, because it speaks of being a prince and also being a wrestler as well. And for instance, you may know the term Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace, Sar. It's one of the roots that's contained in here. And it's as if God says, you're not a deceiver. That's not what I made you to be. You're not a usurper. You're not some heel grabber trying to get what does not belong to him. You're a prince of God. And you've had to wrestle with God and with men. And that's who you are in my eyes. So Jacob was now Yisrael, the one who wrestles with God, with men. He has victory. What a wonderful name to be a prince and a leader. What's your name? Usurper? What's your name? Prince of God? Which sounds better to you? Same man, but he's just had a life-changing encounter with the Lord. God wrestler, Prince of God. You see, the encounter with God changed Jacob's life. Jacob was trying to get a hold of God, and God wanted to be gotten hold of. Does that make sense to you? Why was Jacob able to wrestle with God? Because God wanted to be wrestled with. It was God who came down. You cannot make God physically come down and be with you. You try. You can pray as hard as you want. You cannot make it happen. God does what he wants to do in these regards. Jacob's sleeping. God shows up. Hey, bro, let's wrestle. And it gives us a picture. If you want to walk with God in a Jewish way, you're going to wrestle with God in some way. He's going to wrestle with you. And there was a certain moment when Jacob thought he was going to win. So the Lord smacks him on his thigh and gives him a limp. And that helps you understand this was not a dream. This was not a psychological experience or just a spiritual experience. This happened. And his sons understood it happened just like this, because to honor what God had done, they decided to abstain from eating certain parts of the meat to honor the place where God had smacked their dad and given him a limp. Some of you walk with a limp spiritually because God touched you. And you will just, your limp is to the Lord. Well, Jacob was trying to get a hold of the Lord so that the Lord would fully pour out the blessing. But what blessing was it? It was the blessing that was 20 years old already that God had promised to him. And this should encourage some of you. Some of you, you've been holding on for 3 months already. And you are wondering, why has it taken so long? Some of you maybe even got a word this morning and you figure, if I got the word this morning, surely by tonight I'm getting the breakthrough. And you know, sometimes you do. But there are times when God will give you a word that is meant in his season. And his season may be longer than what you thought, but it's still just the right time. I want to give an example. I got a praise report today from Janine Decker. How many of you know Janine and Jean? A lot of you do. Janine is a faithful member, a founder, and director of a private school in St. John's County called St. John's Grammar School. And she texted me this afternoon, and let me read it to you. She says, "Hi, Rabbi, if you're doing a special prayer of praise tonight, I have been well blessed since the 40 days of good news began last week." And then she reminded me of something. She said, "You came to our school a while ago." It was a long time ago, months and months and months ago. "And you prayed that we would have visibility and prominence." And she said, "And beginning this past Monday, those blessings have started coming in. We are extremely grateful for each new student enrollment and contact. God is surely gracious and good. Love to you and Sandy." So she wrote me that. So I wrote it back. I said, "Wow, can I share that text tonight?" And she wrote back, "Oh, yes, please do." And then this is an interesting comment she wrote. "It's hard to be in the valley. But I also know that in that time of waiting, he was giving me time to be ready for what I need to do now." Isn't that awesome? And so God knows how to pull things off and how to make things work at just the right time. And he is wanting to give some breakthroughs. He's wanting to do some mighty things for many of you. And you know it in your heart. Even today, some of you had confirmation. And the confirmation is not like soothsaying, and it's not 100% trustworthy, but your heart was telling you today God's going to break through. And some of you even had this experience today. You thought yesterday you couldn't go on. And today, you felt God's going to break through. And so you prayed, "Lord, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. It is not over. I am with you, God of the breakthrough." And you started confirming to the Lord what he was going to do. Did that happen to anybody here? Let me see. Stand up if you were in that condition that I'm describing. Stand up. Let people see you. Stand up before the Lord so they can see what God's doing with people. So you understand something. Some of you thought, "It's over, I can't go on." And then today God said, "You know what? I'm releasing my power for you." You can't make God do that stuff. But you can align with him when he's ready to do what he's ready to do, what he promised. And what can you do that is your part? You hold on to him. And you hold on to his promises. And you say, "Lord, you promised this to me, and you are faithful, God. You've been faithful to my family. You've been faithful in so many ways. I tell you, I prayed a prayer of thanksgiving this week. We have a grandson. His name is Gareth, our son's youngest son, third born. And when he was just a tyke, I think about 2 years old, he and the whole family at that time were at a party in the summer where there was a pool, and they were like an hour out of town, and he drowned in the swimming pool and was lifeless when they found him. And you know what? They were an hour away from the nearest hospital. And there was somebody there who was trained in CPR but had never actually done it on anyone. And our son and his wife just began to cry out, you know, for God's help. And Gareth was revived. And his heart had stopped. He had drowned. And as I understand, he was, you know, physically dead. And had nothing else happened, it would have been all over for him. And he came back. Well, you know what? You know what he is right now? He's a champion swimmer. Isn't that interesting? I'm telling you the truth. Now, he's like solid muscle at 10 years old and a champion swimmer. And he competes in 5 or 7 different strokes. And he is an incredible little champion. The thing that he is having victory in was the thing that was about to kill him and defeat him. Now, you know what caused me to give thanks? It's not that he's a great swimmer. I'm glad for that. And I would have been glad if he just overcame his fear of water after drowning. But he's more than that. But you know what I'm so thankful for? Is that God saved up and blessed us by reviving him. There were times when I was telling God what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And this never would have occurred to me. But God showed mercy. And so, you know, I can say, thank you, Lord, that we didn't bury him. And I know others who have lost, you know, children and grandchildren to drowning. It does happen. You know, terrible accidents, terrible things happen. But I thank the Lord for the victory. And every one of us has victories in our lives. They're different victories. Some have a victory in this area, and other people have defeat in that area. But the one who has defeat in one area has victory in another. Start giving thanks to the Lord for the victories you do have already. And don't just count the losses that you have, but remember the thanks for what God has already done. And understand something, God has more in store for you. He wants to give you more. Now, I believe we're in a time that we need to honor. It's a time of good news. 40 days of good news is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now, what I wish that meant is that there would be no bad news for 40 days. Wouldn't that be incredible? But that's not the way God works. The way God works is he puts his finger on bad news and then he brings good news. Laban, bad news. God has good news. Esau, bad news. God has good news. And the same for you. Get a hold of something. Let it get into you. God is wanting to do something. And if your spirit has already been alert to this and been hearing this, and you understand that you're not just making these things up, that God wants to heal, he wants to renew, he wants to restore, he wants to provide, he wants to break through, he wants to give freedom. If you know that, it's time to enter into it. And to pray for it, not only to pray for yourselves, but to pray for other people. Not just to ask, gimme, 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 but to say, Lord, for the sake of the wife and the kids, as Jacob did. To say, Lord, heal this one and heal that one. Not just me, but do all that you can do. And then give thanks for everyone who has a victory. Well, I want to give an opportunity for some some folks to come up here and pray for anyone who needs personal prayer tonight. If you need someone to pray for you for healing, to pray for victory, don't think that you just need one prayer and then it's all done. Sometimes it's like that, but a lot of times you're going to have to stand on the promises of God and stay close to Him. And don't be ashamed to keep asking and to keep believing. So I want to ask Rod and Sharon to come down and pray for people. I want to ask Dexter and Tanya to come down, and Rick and Karen, if you can. And if you want to, Karen, you can like set up a seat so you guys can be sitting with people. And Brian and Fran, if you can come down here, and I'll come as well. And as we close our service, I want to invite everyone who wants personal prayer to come down and to find one of these couples to pray for you. And you can get more than one of them praying for you. And you know what? You can keep coming back for more. You can go from one to the next if you want. Next week, you can ask again. If you didn't experience all the breakthrough, if it didn't fully materialize, don't be ashamed to ask again until it does. And if you get a little bit, thank Him for that little bit and come back and say, how about the next piece? Thank you for what I got last week, now this week. And feel free to come and receive prayer, and we're going to pray for you, and God's going to do wonderful things. And then if all this goes well, those who want to talk about Onag when we're finished. You know, and if it doesn't go well, we'll talk about it next week. We're not going to hurry the prayer. But let's just pray right now. Lord, thank You that You are the Lord who heals. You're the Lord who breaks through. You're the Lord who provides. We bless You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Yeshua who pours out mercy upon us. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to close the service with Aaron's blessing. Would you stand up? And then everyone who wants prayer, you can come down for prayer for yourself, for your loved ones, for those you deeply care about. Yivarechach Adonai. Vayishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace in the name of Yeshua. Amen.